Two key things you need to fund 100 million plus, it's scripting and scaling. Today I'm joined by Amir Saeed, and man, this episode is fantastic. I asked him before we jumped on the interview, I said, what are the two things that people say are your superpower? And he said, scripting and scaling. And in this episode, he shares a framework for how he builds scripts, which is pure gold. He shares a framework and a sequence for DMing luxury realtors and how to get them to actually open and respond to you. And then in the second half of this episode, we talk about scaling, and he shares the number one reason why most mortgage brokers and LOs don't scale. And he gets into some extremely tactical advice, including hiring and interviewing. This interview, this is just jam packed with value. You're going to absolutely love it. And you're going to want to listen to it more than once. I know that I did. Before we jump into this episode, I want to give a shout out to our title sponsor, Finmo. Finmo is a Canadian mortgage application, document collection, submission platform designed specifically for Canadian borrowers. It's very easy to use. It's got cool features, smart docs. It knows what documents your client needs. It's connected to Lender Spotlight, the best tool for searching rates and guidelines. And it's got smart submission notes, so it's pulling key data from the application. Check them out at lendesk.com/Finmo. Also, at the end of this episode and in the show notes, I'm going to have a link for you if you want to work with Amir. He's got a coaching company. And honestly, man, it sounds pretty freaking great. You want to check that out. You can check out the links that we have, but also just check out this conversation I have with Amir. Hey, Amir, welcome to the podcast.
I'm so pumped to be here with you, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So, hey, I'm excited to chat with you. There's kind of two main topics that we're going to dive into. Maybe we'll take a couple little side quests in between. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into the mortgage business.
Well, thank you. I'm very grateful for what you're doing for the entire industry. We need more voices of leadership and bring people on like this, because this is a crazy time. But my short story is I am an immigrant. I was born in Iran. My mom and dad and I left. Iran was in an 8-year war with Iraq in the mid-80s. Almost 1 million people died. And I remember bombs going over my head. And we left and we came to the United States with nothing. My dad was a shoe salesman making $375 an hour. My mom couldn't get a job at McDonald's, and we lived in a little 500 square foot apartment. And I had a very humble upbringing. But my father entered the car business, and you know, he brought me to work every single Saturday, every single summer. So I learned how to negotiate, how to close, how to sell, how to build a lot of emotional intelligence. And in Chicago, it's a very diverse city, and so we had, you know, crazy, variants of cultures that would come in. And I learned the different idiosyncrasies of different countries and how they like to negotiate. So I had a street education, and I joke around, you know, I barely graduated high school. I had a 1.7 GPA. I dropped out of college, but I had a 4.0 street smart education. And so,
and that's actually more valuable a lot of times.
Yeah. You know, my sister is the smart one. She went to the London School of Economics, ace through ACT, but she was, you know, we have a big age gap. She was born a lot farther after I was, but I just loved work. I loved to sell. I was terrible at school. And so I got the opportunity to enter the mortgage business, and I was a telemarketer. I dropped out of college to do it. And so I was cold calling for some of the top LOs in the mortgage company. And so you know, the owner said, here are some public records. Here are all the homeowners that have an interest rate of 8% or higher. And I want you to call them, convince them that we can get them a lower rate and get their social security number so we can get their credit. And I said, these people have no idea I'm calling. They're like, it's the coldest of cold. I said, and
hey, by the way, I just met you. Can I have your social security number?
Exactly. You talk about a high tension, low trust environment. But I'll tell you, Scott, I became the best in the country at this company. I was getting about 7 to 8 applications a day. And I started to see my boss would put $100 bills on the whiteboard. He goes, every app you take, put it in the bin, get the $100. And I started to see the last names of all these applications I was taking on a pipeline board. You know, I'm 21. I have no idea. And I see all these guys high-fiving these LOs, celebrating. And I told my boss, I said, Kevin, why do these guys get so excited every time I bring an app? He goes, kid, I have never in my career seen someone as good as you over the phone. He goes, you have a gift. It is unbelievable. Every app you take, they close it. Not only do you take the app, but you set up the sale so well. So that's how I got my start, is in the gutter, you know, of this business.
Right. And
so,
and then when did you realize, wait a second, I'm making $100 a call when I could be making thousands? How long did that take to go from the basically?
So I started coming into the parking lot, you know, and I lived at home till I was 27. You know, I'm a good Middle Eastern boy, like go to work, come home. My mom makes my food, does my laundry. So I just kind of stayed focused, but I started coming in And all these guys were driving like hoopties at the beginning. And then 6 months later, a year later, I'm seeing these guys driving nice cars. So I go to Kevin. I say, KT, Kevin Taylor, shout out to him, giving my first opportunity. He was a broker. I said, what are we doing in here? Like, how are these guys driving such nice cars? I said, let me ask you something. How much does he make? And I pointed at one of the goofiest guys in the office. He goes, man, he made 40 last month. I said, dang, he made 4,000 last month. That's amazing. He goes, no, he made 40 last month. I said, he made 40,000 last year. He's like, I told a story so that he goes, Amir, 40,000 last month. I said, KT,
your brain couldn't even comprehend it.
I was a simple kid, bro. I don't come from much, right? And I said, are we doing shit legal here? He goes, yes. I said, 40,000. I go, show me his paycheck right now. And he showed it. I had dropped out of school right there. And that was the start of my real career, man.
Well, you're like a racehorse that they hooked up, and you're just like, they're going to let you run as long till you realize, wait a second, I'm going to actually, I need to, you know, change. I'm not just going to make money for you. I'm going to make money for me too. So that's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So, there's a lot of things we could talk about, and I'm sure you've been on other podcasts, but the two areas that when people, you know, ask what's Amir's superpower, one would be scripting and then scaling. And so let's jump into scripting. How do you think about, is it just natural? It sounds like you had some pretty, you know, natural proclivity to sales and phone stuff, maybe from hanging out of the card lot with your dad, but walk me through how you think about creating scripts and maybe give me some examples of, you know, things that you've tried and how you make adjustments.
So look, I'm a very big believer. The level of our income is directly tied to our level of communication. Okay. The two most important things in life, in my opinion, are our time and how we communicate, right? Like, wars start with, because people don't know how to communicate with one another. It is the most powerful thing to just master. And so English is my second language. You got to remember, like, I'm not natural at it, but I just start to observe how our body language, how our mannerisms, how our tonality, enunciation, our ability to build rapport. Like, dude, I can say hi, how are you in almost 25 different languages with almost perfect accent, because I had to learn, how do I build quick rapport on a cold call? Let me look at the last name. I know if it's a, you know, Monopolis, for example, it's a Greek last name. So I know very quickly how to say, hi, how are you in Greek, to just bring the level of trust higher and the tension down. So I just mastered it, right? I learn with people that sometimes...
Dude, who taught you that? So is that something you picked up from your dad, or you picked up from watching sales? Like, because that's a intuitive... I've not heard it. That's a good idea. So especially when you're calling people across a wide spectrum. But where did you pick that up?
My father. So... Okay. He had a small car lot, but people will come to him from across the country to buy cars, because he's the most ethical salesman. So now when I hear people say used car salesman, it always rubs me the wrong way, because I understand, but my father was the best used car salesman. He was very ethical, but he knew immediately how to build rapport. When someone would walk in, if they're Romanian, right, he would say, hey, ce faci, ma, cum ești, right? So people right away felt like he took the time to speak their language and assimilate, right? So I observed that. And so I had a proclivity to understand that from my father, but I mastered. I read a lot of communication books. I understood copywriting from guys like Dan Kennedy, right? I just said, you know what? Emotional intelligence and how I can connect with someone, I'll run laps around really educated people that have a high IQ. If I know how to connect with people, I'll win. Then I started understanding how to listen with my eyes. Right? So I can walk into rooms and I can understand people's body language, if they're a little bit defensive, guarded, how I need to break them down. I just studied it, man. I fell in love with human psychology, behavioral psychology, because that's what sales is. And so I started to practice it. I started to really pay attention. I learned how to master the power of the pause, right? How to have different tonalities to accentuate different things. Like, and I started to say, holy cow, this is really magical.
Right. I understand. It's almost like a Jedi mind trick. I don't know if you're a Star Wars fan, but it's like, it's like, these are not the droids you're looking for. You know, the whole thing he does in the first movie.
That's exactly right, dude. And I think sales at the end of the day is really about our communication. When it comes down to it, is really asking the right questions, being a great discoverer of information, understanding permission-based selling, right? And walking someone through to get to the point of understanding that what you have is what they need. Now, the key is, like any great skill, Scott, you have to be ethical, right? And so that's a big part of my character, is I can use this skill in an unethical way and manipulate people, but I don't do that. You follow?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I totally agree.
Yeah. And so scripting, for me, I like structure. I think the best salespeople have frameworks, sequencing. They understand the right things and how to do them in the right order. And so I was fascinated by that because I'm a very big believer. What separates the best business people from the average is process over personality. How do I have great process with a little bit of personality? The charming, charismatic guy that just shows up and tries to schmooze, that's fine, but it doesn't last long, right? It's how to channel it. Great form is very efficient. So I learned, okay, let's look about the art of when I call a realtor, what's the structure I want to have? Dude, I did a challenge like about a couple of weeks ago. I said, guys, for my entire community at Growth Only Coaching, I said, I'm going to show you how I'm going to cold DM three major, major influencers. So I've studied the framework of a powerful DM, how to affirm someone, right? How to get right to the point, how to have an optimized subject line so people want to open it right away. There's it's an addicting process once you have the power to get someone's attention, you know, in that way.
So okay, so let's touch on that. Yeah. So it's you create a framework. The script is personalized, but there's a framework, underlying principles that you're hitting in order for it to be effective.
That's a great way of saying it. I don't believe it or not, in scripting. I believe in concepts. Because people take scripting, Scott, and they're like, I got to memorize this.
They think it's a magic spell. It's like, all I have to say is these words and you're going to like, it's not like Harry Potter. What you're talking about is there are certain principles you need to hit and you have to have enough, what you said, street smarts to be able to know when to adjust and read their body language. And so back to this DM thing, which is very interesting. So we did this thing called Game of Phones in our mortgage company. And so we basically have like a contest where we're making phone calls and voicemails, but we also do DMs. And so we competed DMs versus phone calls. And I was like, what's going to be better? Like, and I wanted to, we tracked this for a month and I looked at who created the most leads, the people who did both. I personally thought a phone call is like going to crush. Cause I'm an old school guy, right? I'm like phone, but it actually was both. So back to my question. So the DM thing, you said, so give me if I'm a influencer, I'd be interested how you would approach, you know, DMing me to get me, or a realtor. Let's say I'm a realtor and I'm in Houston or wherever. What would you do to try and like get that interaction? Now we're talking,
right? And I'm going to give you another amazing example how every day in our regular lives, being a great communicator gets us so much more. Of how I got a late checkout at a top hotel by just my structure of how I called the front desk. And the guy that was staying with me was like, holy cow. Wow. That was incredible. But with the DM, right, Scott?
Okay.
Let's first talk what people do poorly. People are very selfish. So when they DM a person like you, so let's say I didn't know you and I want to be on this incredible podcast, right? I would come out of nowhere and I would just DM you and talk about myself and everything I can do, you know, that would benefit me.
I get those all the time and exactly. I ignore them. Yeah.
The key is
they don't work.
They don't work, but people are so like, I'm like, dude, come on. So the key is you have to do what's called a PCS, a pre-call stalk. I would stalk you for a little bit and learn about you. And then I would engage your content. I would warm you up a little bit. I would heart and comment intellectually, and I would celebrate some of the stuff you've put out there. So now you start to see me before I want you to know me. That's the power of business media, social media, right? I call it business media. So I would take that. I would go to your Facebook or I would go to your podcast. I would check you out on LinkedIn, IG. I would start to celebrate you. I don't spell celebrate the traditional way. I spell it S-E-L-L-E-B-R-A-T-E. I would celebrate you by selling myself. Make sense? That wordplay, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now you're like, dude, who is this guy?
Keep going.
Okay. Now I'm ethical. Remember, like
you got to have the right intention. Otherwise, yeah, you can use like anything. You can use it for good or bad. Like, so,
that's right. And people will always know your intentions if you're not real. So you genuinely have to have a heart of servanthood and love. Like, I want to meet more people. And this guy's really doing some great things. So I would warm you up. You would see that. Soon as I slide into your DM, it's going to be very much affirming you. That's the most important opening line, is affirming you. Scott, I see this post you made recently. It really resonated with me. I listened to this recent podcast you did with Amir Syed. You're a great interviewer. I learned so much from your podcast. Thank you. It's a leading with a honor and affirmation. It's so powerful, right? And then it would be, I think we could do some great things together. So about how I can help you. Is there one or two guests that I can refer you that would really help your podcast? So I would immediately think, how can I put water in the well first before I want to take some water out? So I affirm, I give, and then I ask, right?
Right.
But believe it or not, even before I do that, I do a 1-2-step process. That first DM, I'm not asking you for anything. I'm affirming you and seeing how I can help specifically. Then I'd come back a week or 2 weeks later, depending on our engagement, I would ask you for what I wanted. So I would warm up, soft DM, hard DM, from my fingers. People just want to go to bed so quickly. They don't know how to flirt anymore, man.
Right, right. This is like dating advice. So affirm and then the give. So if it's a realtor, so you're not going to say, what would be the example of a give that you see a big top real estate team? Because for me, yeah, sure, guests would be great. But what would you say to a big
for a realtor? Let's say I'm a loan officer to a realtor. Okay. You see a realtor putting I'm just going to give one of many examples, a luxury listing online, right? So you'd say, what a beautiful home. Like, wow, like genuinely. Hey, couple thoughts. Would you be okay if I just share this listing on my IG stories? I have somewhat of a good audience. Can't hurt. Second, I have a playbook of the top 7 strategies luxury agents are taking to sell their listings faster. Can I give that to you? How do you get that? Dude, everybody is not resourceful, but everybody has resources. You understand? So I would go out and I would ChatGPT it. I would read a little bit on YouTube, right? I would ask my other top producers, hey, what are 5 things luxury agents can do to sell their listings fast in a market like this? I create a little playbook and I send it to them. I said, I think you'd really enjoy this. That's how I would give. That's one of many examples.
That's this is literally, we could just mic drop. Well, okay, I'm going to come back. That's fantastic. How did you get them? Tell me about the front desk call. Because I know that's not to do with mortgages, but I'm just intrigued now. About, so you're going to affirm, are you going to use the same framework for this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Show me how you did that.
So I was, I travel, I speak to different places, and I was in this really high-end hotel in Columbus. They paid for me to stay up there and everything. And I was with Mo Ismail, who runs Creative. He's the top content marketer at Go Coaching as well. So we had a big webinar and we had to check out at 11. I go, dude, watch this. I go, I know guarantees. Pick up front desk, right? They said, you have to get out at 12. Picks up. Using people's name is very powerful. The thing that people love the most is their first name. It's what they own. So when he picked up, I don't remember the name. Hi, this is Michael. Blah, blah, blah. Hi, Michael. This is Amir. I'm in room 311. It's great to meet you. Michael, I just want to thank you so much. My stay here has been incredible. You guys have all treated me so well. I have a huge network. I'm going to tell all of them to stay here when they travel here for business. And I'm going to go online right now on TripAdvisor, Yelp, Google, and leave you guys a 5-star review. I have a request. Sure. What is it, Mr. Syed? I have a huge appointment coming up at 2. I cannot leave. Will you guys please take care of me and allow me to have a late checkout at 3? It means the world to me, right? And I will be back every single time when I come here.
Right.
He goes, you know, Mr. Syed, blah, 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 blah. We can make that happen. Thank you so much.
And then you follow through on the activities that you said you're going to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a man of my word. That night before I left, I went online. I did it. I put a good review. Now, is it a silver bullet? No. But it's a lot better than being an asshole. Right?
Like, you're going to get a lot more yeses. Right?
Exactly.
Like a lot more yeses than if you just, that's pure gold. Okay. So scripting is really about thinking about frameworks, understanding human psychology, reading people.
Reading the
environment, not just the people, but the context can matter, right? You can say something in one context, you won't in another. And then think you're really just all about, like you said, knowing how to say, hi, how are you in somebody's native language would be, especially as somebody who's another immigrant who moved here and had to learn English. And like, I can't imagine the struggle for that. Must be just such a respecting thing to do.
You know, think about it. Imagine, you know how some people, Americans, will have this thing towards French people, right? Like France people are so stuck up. I'm like, dude, I'm on my Nordic Track treadmill the other day, Scott, and I'm running through like some country with some random, the trainer, right? He's running on the beach, Scott. And you know, Nordic Track, Peloton, you're running with the trainer on the screen and he says, hi, how are you? And the guy's like in I think he was in like Spain or something. And I'm like, look how goofy this guy is. Dude, you're in Spain. Imagine if a Spaniard was in Chicago and said, hola, yeah, ¿cómo estás? Bro, how arrogant is that? You're not, you're coming, speak my native language, try at least. Right. So people go to France, they get upset. Dude, speak the language, you're in France. So when I meet people, right, and I start to quickly build rapport, I look at their area code. So people have these mobile, their area codes are no more part of where you're at. So I say, I see your area code's 808. Are you from Hawaii? They're like, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to go there. Right away, assimilate. If I see their last name, I say, hey, I know that last name, Petropoulos. That's Greek. Do you speak Greek? I do. Ela re, tikanis kala, tiegen re. Right away, they're like, how do you know Greek? I'm like, dude, I love Greek food, Greek culture. Right away, within 15 seconds.
Oh man, that is just like, yeah. Okay, I understand why you crushed in this business well, and continue to crush. Okay, so let's switch gears to scaling, because yes, I know these are two separate things. There's an alliteration, you know, scripting and scaling. So walk me through it. What is the biggest challenge you see loan officers and mortgage brokers have with scaling?
The scripting will get you a lot of sales. I'm a very big believer every business has four pillars, Scott. Marketing, how you can drive leads to you. Selling is how you can close those leads. Operations is how you deliver, you know, the promise, right? It's the manufacturing of it. You become a really good salesperson, understanding how to discover, negotiate, close. You understand great communication, convincing people to do business with you. Amazing. Great marketing makes sales easier. It softens it because your brand walks in before you do, right? But what happens is when you do a great job, your business is going to outgrow you. And if you don't know how to delegate, right, it will permeate into your personal life and cause you to have poor, what I call PEMS, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual lack of harmony, because you're just going to be sheer willing and filling up more business with more time that's going to encroach into your personal life, because we have a micromanagement issue. Most small businesses don't know how to delegate, right? I saw with my dad, small business, he felt like he got to a certain level. He didn't know how to give up more to other people. Our business traditionally is like a rapper and a DJ, is a loan officer and a loan processor, right? We all started, a lot of your audience, if you remember, you go do everything up front, you give the app, but now look what we have. We have segmentation of work, which is really what like Adam Smith, Wealth of Nations, the godfather of economics, talks about, right? Delineating work. The hardest skill entrepreneurs, because great loan officers are really great entrepreneurs, struggle with is delegation. So they get all this business and they just don't know how they can take a vacation and not check one email without their business shutting down. Like, so I got very good at that, because 10 years ago, I was working 70 hours a week, funding $1 million a month, like barely doing any business, broke. Like sheer willing reacting to everything. It was terrible. 10 years later, I'm in Italy. I did 23 million in 1 month. I didn't check one email the whole time, because I'm like, life shouldn't be me working in my hotel room with monitors. Everything can't flow through me. So I coach LOs to scale, hire the right people, how to hire slow, fire fast, promote faster is what I always say.
Right. Oh, I like that. The first two I've heard, I've never heard promote faster. So what are some tactical things that you can do if you're that loan officer and you're struggling with letting go? I mean, here's my perception of it. So I'm a loan officer. I've got to go out and I grind for that file. And I, especially when I'm learning, I make mistakes and sometimes I lose those files. And I was like, and then when you start to get it, you're really afraid that someone else is going to make a mistake and cost you money, that because you've already felt that pain. Right. You've done the thing and you're like, I'm not letting somebody else do this, because if they screw it up, I don't want to. And so that, I feel like that's some of the psychology. But how do you coach somebody, or what would the tactical advice be for somebody who just can't seem to let go of some of these tasks that they should be handing on to someone else?
Well, you bring up such a great point, dude. Like, first of all, it's not an easy road, right? Because like, I'll give you another one of my sayings is, hiring is guessing, firing is knowing. Okay. So you're going to have to do a lot of guesswork at the beginning to make sure you hire the right person, but eventually you'll learn from your mistakes. You're going to have to get some battle scars, right? But you'll get better over time. You'll become a great interviewer, right? Like at Go Coaching, all my high level LOs that are hiring staff, I have to do the second interview. Like I have two on Monday, right? So I second interview and they see how I go through the interview process. Okay. So it's learning how to hire right. The second thing, Scott, is that I have a saying where I do, you watch, then we do, you watch, then you do, I watch. We don't know how to properly train people, right? So there's a system around training. And so we just can't throw someone in to do the work and then yell at them an email and not monitor it. Patient training is very important to bring people up to what you want. Again, it goes back to communication. They can't read your mind. So what's one tactical advice? Every time I do something for one of my staff members, I multiply. I do a Loom recording. I say, hey, I'm doing this right now. You can see my screen. Here's what happened. And we create a whole encyclopedia of Loom recordings so I can multiply myself and they can watch it multiple times over and over, right? The other thing is there has to be a cadence when you have staff of daily team meetings. I meet with my team every morning for 15 minutes. And we get great traction and alignment. Hey, what are some hot loans right now that are about to fall off the railings? Let's solve that problem. Once we land the plane, let's reverse engineer to figure out what we could have done better. It takes leadership to train your people up. They're like kids, man, right? And that's how you get alignment.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I've been using a lot more Looms for that. I was training VA recently and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do this once. I'm going to show them how to do it. And then I'm going to hand it to them and then they can go. You're right. They can go back and rewind it. It's one thing if they're sitting there watching you do it and you're, especially if it's something you've done a lot, you're going to be fast, much faster than they could probably process it. So they're like, shoot, like that was great, but I'm not as quick as this person. And now they have a document. Bravo. Is there any other tactics you have for scaling? So that would be the first. What about on hiring? So we're in the process of hiring somebody right now. What is some advice you have for, you know, identifying good people? You can't always tell, but you said it's guessing, but what would you suggest?
Well, I think you remind me, I just actually taught a masterclass on this yesterday. I have a quick 10-step framework of how to recruit, hire, train, develop, and multiply people on one document. It gives the whole genealogy in a cheat sheet of how to go about it. But yesterday on Facebook, I have a huge following on there. I did a post. So it's your organic audience first. This is such an amazing time to get amazing staff for pennies on the dollar. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, 2-3 years ago, dude, they were getting signing bonuses, these processors.
Now, oh, I know. They were they were getting paid to leave other companies. It was insane.
It was insane. It was now they're just freaking out. So you have an amazing opportunity right now to just scale up. So I did a post the other day. I said, hey, like this mortgage business is hard. One day you have a job, the next day you don't. If you are a loan officer, assistant, processor, underwriter that wants to get on your feet, please DM me. Dude, I got like 14 resumes. And I did a scan. I'm like, holy cow, there's some really good people in here. So your organic audience, number one, put it out there, right? Yeah. This is the power of social. Secondly is ask all your realtors when you're talking to them and say, look, I'm expanding. Has there been any like on other transactions you've been on, other loan processors or loan officer assistants that have emailed you that you thought were really good? I don't need you to make the introduction. You just take a snippet and give me their number and you cold call them, right? That's the hard way. I love LinkedIn right now. I think there's amazing opportunities to put ads on LinkedIn for processors and loan officer assistants. So that's how you can recruit them and get attention to them. Now, with the hiring, do I have a simple framework? When I get their resume, I first of all create a separate inbox, right? So all the resumes go in there. And then I have a time block where I will go in. Now, I don't do it myself, but when I was at that level, I would read all the resumes. First, I look at if there's any typos in there. If the red squiggly lines are still in there, I don't like that. I look for kangaroos if they've hopped around too much, right?
Right.
Then I send them a Calendly link, Scott, to book an appointment. There's 7 questions in that Calendly link that I want them to answer, which we don't have a lot of time to discuss it, but I do a lot of self-selection. Once the appointment's booked, I will go check out their online. I'll look at their Instagram. I'll look at their LinkedIn if they have any public profile, and I will conduct the interview, right? And there's some strategic questions I'll ask in the interview. You understand? Like some of them, for example, is I want to know who they are personally. So I ask them, tell me about the hardest point in your life and how you overcame it. Tell me about a time that you had to work really extra hard. Tell me about the 3 people you've impacted in your career. I want to know these things about their character, right? And then I'll ask them proficiency questions. Hey, don't sweat. We're going to have a little lightning round here. What is the max DTI on a conventional loan? Hey, what is the conventional loan limit? Hey, what is the difference between Fannie and Freddie? I will have 7 to 10 easy layout lightning round of proficiency questions that they should know off the top of their head.
Right. And that's a, that if they don't get through those. Okay. I'm going to ask you about what's one question you ask on that self-select form that you think is helpful. You said you have this form. You don't need to get into all the details, but what would be one that you think this is a useful question?
What's the top three things you need from your future employer? If they say so money,
what first, kind of answers are you looking for there?
Leadership, culture, stability, coaching, training. But if they say money right away, it's a big turnoff for me. Like, right. The question, if I had to just say, because I don't have the top of my head, but it's the essence, it's around, I'm just going to paraphrase this, right? And I can get it to you if it's something around the lines of like, what is the number one thing? What's the most important thing for you in a company that you're choosing? Something along those lines, right? It's much more eloquent. I just don't have it memorized.
Yeah.
I want them to like, I don't want people that can be talking about money. I don't want people like that. I want people that really answer like leadership, culture, coaching, training, you know? Because if they
yeah, so something the like what is like, the most important thing you're looking for in an employer yeah. or a company? And then exactly it would be right. like, and they're going to say, yeah, your vacation time, you're like, okay, next.
Yeah, exactly, dude. And the other questions are, Scott, one of them is, what is one skill you're most proud of? What's one area that you need to improve in? So yeah. you can see those are three, four powerful questions. If they put NA in the weakness piece, I'm like, dude, really? What are you, God? Like, you're perfect? Come right. on. You know? Self-awareness yeah. is a high quality I look for.
That's awesome, man. Okay. So, dude, this has been a fantastic conversation. And so this is just really the tip of the iceberg. You have a company called Growth Coaching, which is rapidly growing coaching company based out of, where are you based out of? Although you're all over the U.S.
But yeah, it's growthonlycoaching.com. We're rebranding it to gocoaching.io, but growthonlycoaching.com. It is the number one modern loan advisor coaching community in the United States now. I'm actually coaching one of the top guys in Toronto. Our goal is to expand in Canada, but we're based in Chicago and in Miami. I'm a Chicago kid, but I just moved to South Miami in Coral Gables. It's been an amazing ride, man, these last 2 years. You know, Scott, I'll tell you, I am a prolific multi-year $100 million producer, and I run a group that does almost $1 billion a year. Exactly 2 years and 3 months ago, I sat down. I said, my dear friend, Shant Banazian, the number one LO in the United States. Shout out, Shant. He's Armenian. I'm Persian. We have the assimilation. At the time, we were at the same company. He's done $1 billion a year every year. I said, I can do $1 billion. I said, I'm going to that Billy. I can do $1 billion, right?
Yeah.
But when I would look at my calendar, Scott, I would see the coaching calls I had with my LOs and I would get so happy. Then I would see like the 40 client calls. And I'm like, I'm not happy. I'm doing this in my sleep. I said, I'm going to have a come to Jesus moment here. Like, what do I want to do? And I'll tell you what, I started to get students, some $100 million producers, and I fell in love. And I said, this is my calling. You have a job, career, and a calling. It kept calling me. And I said, there's a big void for it. And I've been the happiest I've ever been. You know, sometimes the ego in me says, Amir, you should have gone done $1 billion. But dude, the impact and the multiplication I'm having with people across the country, especially at a time like this, this is God has put me in this position for a reason, man.
Right. Well, I think that comes back to you touched on self-awareness. It was you being self-aware enough to say, I am not going to chase this other guy's goal or dream. Because right. even though I could, but I wouldn't be doing it for me.
And that's exactly right.
Yeah, that's so good. So growthonlycoaching.com. You could check that out. You do work with Canadians. So if you guys are listening, you do have some Canadian people in there. And dude, this conversation has been awesome. We got connected by a mutual friend who I have a ton of respect for. And I'm glad that we met. And I have no doubt that your program is going to continue to crush it. This has been awesome.
Well, Scott, it's been awesome getting to know you as well. And I started my career as a mortgage broker. I would never be in this industry. I coach a lot of mortgage brokers. You know, it's the greatest gateway pathway for people that want to enter the business. Mortgage brokers, you know, a lot of them own their own business. You know, they're dedicated people, man. And that's the beauty of our industry is the diversity. You have some banks, retail lenders, but we're all going through this storm together right now. And I want to leave everybody with this is that I think we're going to see one of the greatest housing runs we've ever seen, you know, and we just got to stay the course. Results lag effort. During the boom, 1 + 1 = 10. Right now it's 1 + 1 = 0.1. But I'll tell you what, this attrition we're going through, this business is an incredible business for all of us. It brought a broke immigrant kid at heights I never could have imagined, met some amazing people here like you, Scott. And so what you're doing for your audience is amazing. If you're listening to this, stay the course, keep your head down. And I'm telling you, we're going to see an amazing run here in the next few years.
Oh, I totally agree, man. That's awesome. Thanks, Amir.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Hey, thanks again for listening. I know that I was fired up after having that conversation with Amir. And so if you want to find out about his coaching company, I encourage you to go check out, click on the podcast player. So if you click on that, you'll see show the notes. You'll actually see links and everything. We have a link there that you can go and you can check out his company if it's something you're interested in. He's absolutely right. You've got scripting requires you thinking about it in terms of a framework and scaling. Of course, there's a lot of reasons people don't scale properly. And man, I just absolutely love this conversation with Amir. If you want to check him out, do that. Also, as we always say, there's no problem in your business somebody else hasn't already solved. The challenge, of course, is just finding the person who has the solution. Amir has a bunch of solutions. Check him out. And thanks again for listening to this episode. And if you found it valuable, shoot me an email. I love getting emails from you guys. It's Scott@ILoveMortgageBrokering.com. And if you know an awesome guest, also send me that as well.